Hi, I'm Becca Lewis, your host for the Shift the Story podcast, where we share tips and tools for making shifts in our lives from the inside out. This month, it is all about March and its symbols. In the podcast, we talk about the eagle, the number three, the color brown, the three jewels of the body, the fact that the observer and the observed are one, and energy. Dell also covers the states of mind called alpha, theta, beta, and delta. Which one do we live in? Which one are we aiming to live in? We talk more about illusion. What is it? Plus, why chasing goals is even more than a waste of time. And the big question, what is truth? As always, there is a lot to cover in this session. So let's get into the rhythm of March and shift the story together. All right, we're in March.
We're in March.
So what is the rhythm of March?
Rhythm of March, it's accept and weigh the truth. And the title is The Regulator Refiner.
Well, that sounds heavy. Accept and weigh the truth.
Okay,
so we're going to do a lot of ways to...
No. This whole hour is going to be about weighing the truth. And what truth are we weighing?
Okay, so before we start, well, actually starting it, let's do some of the symbols that we always cover, which is, what is the animal for March?
The animal is eagle, and it was chosen mainly because it's the east. It's that season of the east and learning the truth. It's the natives considered it closest to the spirit world because it flew higher than anything. So it was close to the spirit world.
Okay, and do you think that's why we chose that also in America as the symbol? Or did they just intuitively pick it?
I probably chose it for that reason, or something similar to that.
Okay.
And also the eagle has great vision, so it can see and discern things on the ground from a great distance.
And, well, what's the color?
The color is brown, the earth color.
Ah,
ground.
Wait, now so it has earth and eagle.
Yes, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yes. Earth, eagle is one, not as a separation.
Pulls it all together.
And the number is three because it's the third month, which is very significant.
In what way?
Well, shall we start with the number three, I guess? Why not?
Okay.
First, we'll look right at, and remember last month we talked about the three jewels that the Taoists talked about, the three jewels of the body, that were embodied,
yes.
You know, the true intent, true sense, and spiritual essence.
Yes.
The three jewels. And remember how they said they're not considered, there is not separate things called intent, sense, and essence. It is one thing, one reality. It is when they got separated at a point, then they became intent, sense, and essence. But through that, there was also all this, everything became adulterated. And so the true became false, and the intent became false, and things like that because of the separation.
Okay.
You only have the sense of oneness when all three are as one, because in the one reality, there are not three separate parts.
Okay.
They work together as one. They are one.
So they call that the three jewels.
The three jewels, yes.
All right. And what... Was there more that you wanted to explore in the three jewels before we go on from there?
Well, we're going to talk more about the three jewels because, remember, we had the symbology of the three jewels as true earth, which was the true intent, true lead, which was the true sense, and then true mercury, which was the spiritual essence of things.
Okay.
And if you look at lead kind of represents the material realm because it sinks, it's heavy. And then mercury is that flighty, it's light, and it's kind of, when you try to touch it, it just zips away.
Yeah.
And then earth, true earth, was the embodiment of it. And when it all comes together as one reality, it's true faith, true intent, and everything's pure in essence in that way. But when you separate them, then you have conflicts or you have control issues over lead and mercury, one trying to control the other, or, you know, vice versa in that kind of thing, in that idea.
Okay.
And so the number three, when we look at different places that talk about the number three, as Revelation talks about it, in that it means limitless light, mm-hmm. but there's also the three things, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost,
mm-hmm.
but it's still one, and they are one. It's when you separate it, then you can start giving it essence of your own, you know, a personal essence kind of thing. And then the number three and a half is always a period of testing because it's halfway complete, which seven is the number of completion. So three and a half is at halfway there. So it's kind of a testing idea in
okay.
three and a half. And then if you look at the other threes that are in Revelation, the third message to the churches in the beginning is one to Pergamos, which saith, he that hath the sharp sword with two edges.
Mm-hmm.
And to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So when we look at the number three, and the message that it says, and we look at what is the symbol of a sword.
Yeah.
A sword is something that pierces, it cuts, it severs. So it is a discernment, a severing away of what is not true, and letting that go, getting rid of that, and replacing it with what is true. Okay?
And it's two-edged.
A two-edged sword, yes.
Okay.
And it's a mental battle because always, when they talk about the sword in Revelation, it's coming out of the mouth. So it's a mental warfare. This is not a warfare you're fighting outside with, you know, people battling with guns. It's a mental thing going on.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we're really talking about today, we're really talking about the weighing of the truth.
Yes.
And when we were talking together about it earlier this morning, you were talking about you could, which truth is it? Is it the weighing of the truth within the earth? Or is it the truth? When so, what truth are we talking about? Are we talking about the billions of truths that each individual holds? Or are we talking about the truth?
Exactly. You know, we've heard it on TV. We've heard people say it. You know, I'm just looking for the truth, and I want the truth. And then you hear things on people talk about, well, whose truth do you want?
Yeah.
Well, that's true. When you look at it from the human perspective, There are literally, if there's 7 billion people in the world, there's that many truths. So yeah, and that's why you have the conflict. Now true, some of them will group together and be pretty much the same truth, but even in that, there's still differences.
Okay.
But overall, you look at it, if there's 7 billion different truths, how are you ever really going to agree on anything?
Yeah.
7 billion people agree on the same thing, that it's all the same?
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen.
Right.
So it's in spirit, in pure spirit, can only be the real truth, is there, outside of anything that looks like material. And that's the thing, we've got everything completely flipped around to look at the material world as the true thing that's going on, and people are real people, and all this is so real.
Yeah.
Even though everything, the physicists say that it's not, that's the illusion is the material world. It's like we said last time. Used to think the external was what was important. Now we know it's just the opposite. It's the internal. And the observer creates the reality by looking at it, by observing. Otherwise, it's not there.
So that statement, the observer and the observed are one,
yeah,
is really what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, if you think you're human, whatever truth you think is real for you.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is breaking through that perception that we're human and looking through all of that to see the truth, the big T truth behind it.
Right, the big T truth.
And we look at symbols to get us there.
Well, you look at it like this. If, say we're in a room and there's all 7 billion people in a room, but they're on this line. It's a linear kind of thing, because you'll have two ends to it, and it ends. It's opposites. And each individual on the line of 7 billion has a scale of their own. So they take and they weigh the truth on their own scale. And we're going to use one scale. There's pure absolute truth with no idea that there's no idea in mind that there's a separate world that's called the physical world that we somehow have to manage and take care of and make things happen in that world.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll talk about the different things that kind of depict that and show. In fact, we might as well go right to that now.
Okay.
We'll talk about the brain waves.
All right.
And the four different brain waves that they have measured, the beta, alpha, theta, and delta.
Okay.
First, that beta is considered the conscious level of mind, and the alpha and theta profile the subconscious range of mind's operation. And then the delta is the unconscious zone of thought.
Now, just to clarify, the mind we're talking about is what we consider the human mind.
Yes, because, see, they measured this.
Yeah.
They have an encephalograph or whatever that machine is called that they can measure the brain waves. Okay, so they're measuring.
And this if you can measure it, it's in the small area.
And it's material.
Okay. Yes.
And that statement I just made, that beta is considered the conscious level and then delta is the unconscious zone of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, you have to invert that to get big R reality.
Okay.
The only real conscious place has to be the delta, but the ultimate delta, which is really there shouldn't be any brainwave measurement. It's because when you can measure something, it is now finite.
Yeah.
You've taken it out of infinity. So it's not infinite anymore. It can't be pure. So what's really going on is that the beta state of mind is that state in which people are the easiest to control, shape, mold, and manage. That's what that state of mind is about. And so the beta brain waves are 14 to 40 cycles per second.
Okay.
It's supposed to be fully awake and alert and generally associated with left brain logical thinking, activity, and the fully conscious mind. And the beta level is focused upon a perceptually separated world.
So when you're in beta, you're seeing a separation.
Yes.
All right.
And the thing is, in children are mostly in the alpha, theta, and delta state of mind. Human adults are usually always in beta. What does that tell you?
Well, it tells us that we're training our children to be in beta.
Yes, they get there quite soon. Now, the characteristics of beta, from the way I see it, is there's tunnel vision in beta. You have tunnel vision. The focus is the external. It's snapshot perception, meaning everywhere we go, when you're in a beta state of mind, you're mm-hmm. taking snapshots. You walk into a room for the first time, it's like your brain takes little snapshots, very many, just a few, of the most obvious things you see. And then every time you go into that room, you'll look at the same things.
It's a reference point that remains the same.
Remains the same. And you do that everywhere when you're in that beta state of mind. So you miss everything in between, which is why Native people have always said, well, you can hide in plain sight.
Yes.
Just observe where people look like when they come into a room.
Yeah.
If you observe where they look every time, then you'll know. The hide in the shadows, those places where they never look.
Yeah.
And you literally can hide in plain sight. And that's when we tune that.
And we've seen you do that, though.
Mm-hmm. So that's snapshot perception. It's also a material attachment disorder is found in beta state.
I like these two things, snapshot perception and material attachment disorder. What do you mean by material attachment disorder?
The beta state of mind is attached, literally attached to everything material.
Okay.
Its whole focus is on the external, on the material things and everything to do with that.
So it takes a snapshot
mm-hmm.
and then becomes attached.
Yeah.
Okay.
So material attachment disorder is MAD, MAD.
MAD, okay.
So an SSP is a snapshot perception. So with the SSP and the MAD, you do the same thing over and over again.
Uh-huh.
You expect different results, and you're always looking for it outside of yourself. So this is also defined as insanity.
Yes.
And that's what we do. We do this constantly. We've been trained and conditioned to do this. Got to be very clear about that.
Yeah.
And the recent brain studies they've been doing is that in order to get full function of the brain, you really have to do more single tasks. You have to do more of the relaxing, getting more relaxed states of mind to really learn a lot. And we don't do that.
Well, we've talked about, just kind of a side point here, we've talked about companies that recognize that and provide creative and physical activities for their employees during the day,
mm-hmm.
get much more out of their employees than those that put them behind a desk in a cubicle.
Yeah. Well, it was said about Google, I read recently that they give their employees 20% time to go do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And in that 20% time, they have created 50% of their big products.
Well, you can see that just with us on a, you know, regular people on a day-to-day basis. I could be working all day at my computer, but I go for a walk, mm-hmm. or I take a shower, and ideas. That's where the ideas come from. I implement them behind my desk, but the ideas don't come from behind my desk.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, you know, when we talk about multitasking, I mean, it's a big thing. Oh, you should be able to multitask. But really, they have found, they've done studies, and the research shows that your error rate goes up 50% when you do a lot of multitasking.
And multitasking, we're talking about in the form of you're doing two opposing events at the same time.
Well, we're not conscious. You know, a lot of the time we get so used to doing so many things at once.
Yeah.
And you know, we really think we're fairly efficient at it.
And we're not.
But it's also like talking on a cell phone when you're driving. We think we're fine. But studies have shown it's worse than if you're drunk driving.
Whether you're talking on a headset or not, it's the talking.
Yes, it's the talking. And so you have to look at that. Mm-hmm. You're not conscious.
Right.
You think you're just doing fine. Like you're really getting all this done. But you're not realizing there's a lot of errors being made.
Yeah.
Or a little shoddy work here and there. But, you know, you got to do it. So you don't think much. But it's a very bad environment. And you could get so much more done. But yet again, it's a control thing.
Yeah.
Because if you got, well, we'll talk about these other states here.
Okay.
Anyway, so the beta is a totally altered and fully asleep state of consciousness, a material world that passes itself off as fully awake and conscious.
Oh, that's
really just the opposite.
Okay.
But does anybody believe, oh, no, we're really awake and conscious? Are we really?
Yeah.
When you repeat the same thing over and over and over and over again, and your field of vision is very limited to, you're seeing very little.
Yeah.
Very little. All right, on to alpha brainwaves. Alpha brainwaves are 8 to 13 cycles per second, as opposed to the 14 to 40. Now, this is a relaxed, daydreaming type state, usually associated with right brain thinking and a deeper subconscious phase. The mind relaxes and seemingly disconnects from the external material world, and you begin to move within in this place. The characteristics of alpha, it's relaxed compared to beta.
Which is saying a lot, but
but it is definitely definitely relaxed compared to beta. The focus is more within. It's more akin to watching a movie than taking a snapshot.
Ah, so you see more.
And if you think about the flickering of a TV, it produces more of an alpha state. And that's why when you're watching advertisements and things in that state of mind, you're more apt to go out and meditation. Get meditation, you'll find alpha state in there. Mm-hmm. Calm, relaxed activity. It's beta consciousness improvement, BCI.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard that before, haven't you? Probably not.
You just made it up.
In other words, we're hoping that all you do in alpha will, you know, if you find out an alpha and you experience, will carry over to the beta world and make it a better place to live.
Okay.
You know, it's... And you're more relaxed. It's a more relaxed form of MAD, or material attachment disorder.
Oh, it's a more relaxed form.
You're more relaxed.
Does that mean you're more willing to let go of some of your material attachments?
Maybe.
Okay.
All right. Theta brain waves are 4 to 7 cycles per second. You're deeply relaxed, dreaming, right brain thinking, deeper into subconscious and super consciousness. You have insights and bursts of creative ideas in the theta. Characteristics of theta, at first some cool stuff happens here that you can tell your friends about when you get back to beta in the real world.
Not. Right. But you tell your friends about it.
It is cool. When you get into theta and you feel that and you start coming up with these flashes, you can't wait. Oh, guess what I just, that kind of thing. And it definitely feels more expansive, comfortable, and real here. The beta doesn't feel surreal after experiencing that theta state for a while.
Okay.
And obstacles obstructing pure consciousness are clearly seen and can be difficult to deal with. Because when you're used to beta, it takes on an aggressiveness of its own. Mm-hmm. And the last thing it wants you to do is stay down there in that more expansive state of mind. So it's kind of like the predator mind we talked about last time, Don Juan and the predator mind, how it has made its mind your mind.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that. When you start getting into these deeper levels of awareness, and expansive awareness, these obstacles, these things will come up that tries to stop you from being there.
Well, that's happening all the time. But you become more aware of it.
You become more aware of it. And as you become more aware of it and have that, once you tap into that place, when you tap into the pureness of, clear down past delta, so there's no brainwave idea going on.
Uh-huh.
You've transcended anything physical. At that place, there's no obstacles, there's nothing like that going on at all. And it's in those places, when you get into that area, it's where you'll feel that, once experienced, you'll feel that connection of that. It feels kind of like a connection, or just that familiarness of, I know something, and I'm not sure what it is, but I've experienced something.
And this is in the delta?
Yeah, the delta, which delta is the 0.5 to 3.5 cycles per second. It's associated with no thinking. In other words, supposedly no thoughts going on there.
Yeah.
It's dreamless.
Mm-hmm.
Non-physical states of existence, a key state for healing and such.
Okay. And you can get to these states. They happen, I think we've all experienced flashes of delta where all of a sudden you really realize the oneness of everything,
mm-hmm.
and the non-physical state of existence, that actually, why, if we didn't get there, then we'd be talking about something we'd never experienced.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily something that takes forever. It's kind of like it breaks through the mist.
Yeah.
If you practice.
And they say you really can't remember anything from a delta state. You can't bring it back.
It's just an idea.
The people who've done remote viewing have claimed that you can bring stuff back and can remember some things. And I agree with that because I've remembered some things.
Done remote viewing. Okay.
The characteristics of delta, achieving 0.5. The good news, I guess you're still alive.
Delta. Yeah, that's good.
Now, what happens when you get to zero? Are you dead to the beta world? Isn't that an interesting question?
Yeah.
Because if you hit zero, well, you're no longer in delta. What are you in? And that has to be that pure conscious state.
Yeah.
Pure consciousness. It has to be what Don Juan talks about when you transcend all these areas, what Stalking Wolf talked about to Tom Brown and Rick about when you hit that place, that level of awareness. You transcend everything physical, and it's pure there. But to get there, you have to forget everything you ever learned. You have to forget you have a past. That is the same as Taoism talks about, same thing Don Juan talks about, and the same thing everybody talks about, actually. When you, the ones who talk about immortal and spirit, pure spirit, you have to forget all that yet. The physical has to be let go of.
All versions of it.
All versions. So if you try to, if you're going down there just to get something to bring back to the beta level to, improve something, well, it's nice, sounds good, but it still misses the point of you're bringing it back to an illusionary world.
Right.
And what's going on in that pure place? Well, it's pure, it's infinite. Why would you want to leave that?
Well, so actually we have it backwards. We think that something in delta is the illusion and beta is the reality, when really beta is the illusion and delta is the reality.
And beta is more of the, I'm asleep. And you hear people say, people wake up.
Yeah.
But we're so busy in the beta state of mind, We don't know we're sleeping. We think we're busy.
Yeah, but I'm busy. I can't wake up.
But if we watch the hamster in a wheel just going around, you know, spinning, the wheel's just going around, it's not getting anywhere, pretty much the same thing.
So no matter how much you improve your life, whether it's through money or education or acquiring things, if you're acquiring it in the beta, or what we call small reality, is useless.
Well, it's not going to get you anywhere, because once you hit the end of that, what you always do, it's like the Taoists, the Chinese say, when you shoot an arrow up in the air, it reaches a certain point where that's it, and it's going to come back down. Human sense of something, when you have a world of separation, you get so far, the life ends, and that's the end of it. So if you gained intelligence and everything through artificial means, and that means more of the beta idea of
within
getting
the beta
intelligence,
right?
Well, it goes away. You don't have it anymore. But as you gain understanding of what is pure and what is consciousness, pure consciousness, that doesn't go away. You have more understanding of it.
And that understanding produces what we need within the small R reality. So
yes,
we do end up with money and houses and whatever it is that an individual needs.
Yeah.
But it's based in the substance of reality rather than outside in, it's inside out.
Right. Exactly.
This is kind of maybe off the track a little, but I don't want to forget to say this. We were watching something the other night, and some quantum physics show, and they made a statement that I keep thinking about, and I think it applies to this, is that there is no, you can't make more, now they're talking about material, they can't make more energy, and you can't destroy energy. All the energy, what we call energy, has always existed and always will exist.
Oh, yeah, that was on the Universe Show.
The Universe Show.
History Channel.
I thought that was just such a perfect symbol of what we're always saying. We are not the cause and creator. It's already present. So they're saying you can't make more energy. You can't destroy energy. All you do is transform it.
Transforms, yes.
And that, when you really think about the symbolism of that, that's really what we've been talking about all along, is that we think we're creating and destroying instead of just revealing what's already present.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So it does kind of fit in there.
It does,
okay.
Yeah. Now, when I was...
You did talk about this fake video, Alder's Perception of Reality, which I thought was really interesting.
Oh, that's right, the fake video. That was interesting. It's on Live Science. Watching a fake video can change a person's perception of reality. A study they did found that out. And the results showed that almost half the people who watched a doctored video of an event believed the video rather than their actual experience.
Isn't that ridiculous?
And some were even convinced to testify as an eyewitness to the fictitious happenings. That's what I mean by the beta thing.
Yeah.
In that state of mind, it's you're easily controlled, manipulated, managed, all that. And we get, you know, again, the carrot's always outside of us, and it's always, come, look, don't you want this carrot? Come after it. And we're always chasing things. And so you never slow down to get into a deeper level of awareness, consciousness. So, you know, you're at the mercy of that, where you can stop and pause, and this is why the pause, observe, listen is so important. You can pause, observe, listen, detach from what is attempting to pull you into a situation, and then you can feel it for yourself and understand what's going on.
And then you know, then you see through that mist of the smaller reality and know the real reality.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
You know, and there's degrees of that. I mean, that's why we talk about intuition. There's intuition inside of a box, which, of course, you know, everybody has intuition. If they do something a lot and they're in a certain situation all the time, well, of course you have intuition about things in there, because you just automatically start to read something in the things that you see and notice, because you're always there.
Right.
So the same thing when you get into a much deeper state of mind, you can see something coming a mile away, so to speak, that, you know, you don't, you get a feeling that this isn't going to be a good thing, so you just back away and don't have any part of it.
Rise above.
Yeah, or as well in the martial arts, they try to teach you to be aware and blah blah blah. But the best awareness is, you know, so you can defend yourself.
Uh-huh.
Well, the best defense is you don't go someplace
don't
where
there.
There's going to be something going on. That's the best defense. So you say you're going to be going somewhere, but you get this thought in your mind that, nah, I'm not going. I don't know why, but I'm not going.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll find out later something happened. Maybe not, but it doesn't matter. You have to start feeling that within yourself as to, well, what is true? What is going on? What am I doing this for to begin with? So you start to ask yourself deeper questions. And everything out there is a teacher anyway. So as you start to ask questions when you see the symbol, and everything's a symbol, and you ask, what is this telling me? Then you go from there, and you keep expanding.
Well, as we're talking about this, that really we need to state that the premise that we're coming from is that we talked about 8 billion truths, but the...
I think it's only 7.
7 billion truths. Well, pretty soon there'll be 8 billion. Well, if we added all the extra things in the universe, there's probably... million, trillion, billion truths. But there really is only one big T truth, and that's the premise that we're coming from, is that there really is only one intelligence. And that's the big T truth. When we often say it's love loving itself, or infinite mind, or the principle of intelligence.
Yeah.
So we're always coming from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there was something about practical Taoism when I was reading practical Taoism.
Okay.
That's relevant to this, what we're talking about. And because in the introduction of this, the person who wrote this was talking about when I met my teacher long ago, he'd asked for instruction on learning immortality. Well, you know, how many people ask for instruction on
immortality?
You know,
well,
it's a little different, different state of mind, different place of whatever there. And the teacher said that learning immortality may be artificial or real. And the artificial is the way of the methodologist, and the real is the way of the wayfarers. Well, that's, how do you interpret that, right?
Exactly.
But then he went on, those who seek that eternal life by techniques will inevitably ruin their own lives. And going by the way, however, one will not only live long, but also directly experience birthlessness.
Uh-huh.
And there's a great big difference between the real and the artificial, the way and techniques. Those with perception will be able to distinguish them on their own.
Well, that's my favorite word, that perception word.
Yeah, and you know how we were talking about symbols.
Yes.
And when you take the symbol, everything's a symbol, but if when you latch onto it and become attached to the symbol and make the symbol something in its own right... instead of it's the principle behind the symbol.
Right.
That's what they're talking about techniques as opposed to the way. The way is you understand the principle that's behind the symbol. Once you understand the principle, you don't need the symbol anymore. But we get so, and again, that's that beta state of mind.
Yeah.
We get so attached to everything outside of ourselves, whether it's a system, a thing, or whatever. We get really attached to it, and then we don't get the principle at all.
So that's like, well, we see that all the time. If you come up with a tool, or we call them tools, I guess it could be techniques, that get us to those different places that we're talking about. We say, oh, that got me there this time. Then you think that's the only way it happens, and then you start defending, oh, that's the way that I can get to that place. And if you're not using my technique, then you and I are on opposing sides of the issue.
Yeah.
Rather than coming from, well, that particular, you can reach, a movie can take you to the same place that an hour of meditation, if it doesn't matter how it gets there.
Yeah.
If we keep chasing the symbol or the tool or the technique, then we're in that, the small R reality.
Well, that's the thing. The Chinese talk about this a lot. And in the alchemical classics, they all use metaphors to illustrate principles. And they're telling people through this to discern from the image the principle to be practiced, not to turn away from the principle and act on the image. And he said, they go on to say, students should proceed from the symbol to discover the principle. And when you get the image, forget the words. And when you get the intent, forget the image. Then you will be close. And then as far as symbols and metaphors, since olden times, there have been many Taoist books in which ancient teachers set up all sorts of similes. They would use objects to stand for terms. They would use terms to lodge meanings. And this is because the true way is hard to express, or that pure idea, very hard to express. So they wanted to present clues without speaking clearly. Because, again, that's why Revelation is so such a good book, because you can't make sense out of it if you take it literal.
Right.
So you have to leave it in symbolic language and be able to interpret it and understand it from the point of view of pure spirit.
In fact, if you don't do that, you just take outside events and make them squish them in to make them fit.
Yeah.
And that's why they have all these prophecies that actually mm-hmm. are not true. So you have to take it was written symbolically for that very reason.
Yeah. And really the Chinese say, and that's all there is to it. But later students nevertheless got all mirrored up in the symbols and the words.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started to cling to abstract metaphors. And they went on, as they said here in this one place, they said the students didn't look into the meanings of the code words or the symbols, and they did not figure out the principles of the symbols. So eventually what happened, schools arose to teach different things, because we talked about this before. They would see talk of gold, elixir, and mercury, and that kind of thing, and
mm-hmm.
they thought it referred to preparation of potions to ingest, so they started schools about that. They started schools about visualization exercises. I mean, these are the techniques we're talking about. So if you look at a process of how do you expand vision so you get out of that snapshot frame of mind, and that's what we're talking about, the wide-angle vision, that
right.
circular vision.
Right.
Sounds like a technique, but it's actually taking you out of technique.
Yeah.
So you can see everything at once. So you're not focused and taking a snapshot and then attached to this one thing here and missing everything else.
Huh. I have a small example of this. I try to practice that 360 self-vision when I go for walks, but it's so hard. It's so much harder to do than it appears. So I'll do it for a second or two, and then I'm back into walking and planning something. And every once in a while, then I have to go back to the 360. And a couple times I've scared myself because I'm doing the same walk as I always do, and all of a sudden I see something I never saw before.
Yeah.
It stops me in my tracks. Am I lost?
Because
I never saw that before. How did that get there? And it's actually been there all along, but I've been walking in my little tiny tunnel vision.
Exactly.
For a second, I expanded out and saw something. And literally has taken me, made me stop in my track with my heart beating really hard. Like, did I go somewhere I didn't mean to go?
Yeah.
So it's amazing how we do that.
And it gets more and more profound and inclusive of everything, because you'll start to see a movement. It really, if you would have been focused on just one or two things, you would have never seen this little tiny movement
yeah.
to your right that all of a sudden you look that way because you saw something move. And then you realize, wow, look, there's a little tiny bird
yeah.
right there.
Yeah.
And then after a while, you get to recognize the patterns of flight, because every bird has a unique pattern, unique size. So you start to pick that up right away. Oh, I know what that is, without even having to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what I mean by everything starts to get far more expansive and deep in that way. And then the Chinese went on to say there's a second thing, which is governing the mind. And they say the mind is the ruler of the whole body. And, you know, you have to discern, well, which mind are they referring to? So, again,
okay.
weigh the truth when you begin with the premise of there's only pure spirit, there's only one mind, pure mind. Well, then it's a different thing than saying there's a human mind controlling the body.
Right.
Now you're in the physical realm, and you get everything that goes with it, which is all opposites and all that stuff, cycles. But anyway, the mind is a commander of all the mental powers, and when it's quiet, it produces insight. When it's agitated, it becomes unclear. When it's agitated, you're in a beta state of mind. When it's quiet, you're more down in that calmer state of mind.
But doesn't beta itself produce agitation?
Yeah, it does. And so they're talking about when you begin to study the way, or
uh-huh.
understanding of what is that pure inner silence, it's necessary to sit calmly and collect the mind, detach from objects, so the mind doesn't possess anything. And then by dwelling in that non-possession, You don't cling to anything, and you spontaneously enter into absolute non-resistance. And we've talked about resistance a lot.
Yeah.
Then the mind merges with the way, and it actually, you are that mind at that time. So,
and then you're talking about the big mind.
Yes, and we're talking about the big mind.
Big M mind. Okay.
What else do we want to talk about right now? Let's go into physics.
Okay.
Because remember, physics is really unique in that it just helps us to point to that idea that when you are in that pure state of mind, you can't really just swap worlds. Like, you know, the material world is that really cut and dry, you can measure everything, and we're just so obsessed with measuring everything.
Yeah.
You know, what do you got?
From ourselves.
Look what I got. Look what I can do. Look, you know, that kind of, it's just obsessive. And the spirit world, that's just not going on. There's no need for it.
To get out a tape measure and start measuring spirit.
Well, you have to have a long tape measure, for one thing, because it's an infinite measurement, so you know. But if you're there, there's definitely nothing to measure when...
It just strikes me as so silly.
Okay. Yeah. And again, when we try to sit in beta or even alpha, theta, and we're trying to understand spirit, can't be done. It is the same thing as the physics said about the quantum. When you're attempting to understand quantum, well, you can't. The human mind cannot understand the quantum. It, you know, just can't do it. Because it looks at these things and it says, you know, you have the common sense intuitions. You know, it's just common sense to... walking around in beta and those states of mind that an object cannot be in two places at once. Just can't do it.
In beta, that's not possible.
No, it's not possible in the physical world, mm-hmm. right? One thing can't be in two places at once. Well, in the quantum it can.
Yes.
It is. It's just like doing the slit experiment where they throw a photon beam through these two slits, and then when they're observing it, they can see this bam, bam, bam where it hits.
Uh-huh.
And they can definitely define, oh, it went through here, this slit, or it went through that one. When they don't observe it, it goes through sometimes one slit or the other. They can't tell which one it will go through. And sometimes it goes through both slits at the same time, which is impossible. And that's why they say there's nothing you can do to try to rationalize it, visualize it, nothing. It's just... It baffles. That's all it does. So to think we can understand spirit in this state of mind, give it up.
Yeah.
Ain't going to happen. So again, observations produce what is measured. As that Pascal Jordan, a developer of the quantum theory, said, observations not only disturb what is to be measured, they produce it.
The observer and the observed are one.
Yeah.
Back to that again.
Back to that.
The dreamer and the dream are one.
The dreamer and the dream are one. And, you know, Mrs. Eddy talked about, she said, where evil is not supreme, the good is not helpless, and nor are the laws of matter primary and the law of spirit secondary, because it has to be that the law of spirit is primary. Now, it's just like in physics, they say the secondary laws of matter were studied first. You know, it's all the measurement stuff. And made to be real through the thorough and definitive measurement of all things physical. And the primary laws found in the quantum were not studied until the physical laws were exhausted. Then the underlying and fundamental source was discovered. So, you know, it's the same thing. It's the same thing we're talking about. And the body is not first and soul last. Nor is evil mightier than good. You know, that's just the way it is. The science of being repudiates self-evident impossibilities, such as the amalgamation of truth and error and cause or effect. Science, you know, referring to Christian science, it always separates the tares and wheat in time of the harvest. And there is but one primal cause, therefore there can be no effect from any other cause. And there can be no reality in aught which does not proceed from this great and only cause.
Well, now see, absolute truth. That's an absolute truth. But then the symbol that I was speaking about before, that all energy was already created, it can't be more created, and it can't be destroyed, it can only be transformed, is actually saying the same thing within a frame of reference where we can understand it a little, you know, our mind can grasp it a little, even though that in itself is a non-graspable, it's hard to grasp what that means.
Right.
But it's actually the same thing. There's only one cause and creator. It's the same thing saying it, all energy's already been created.
Yep, exactly.
And we get lost in the how and the why instead of really letting all those how and why questions are within the human beta, small mind, small our reality. And it gets us, it's one of those traps. It just keeps asking, well, I don't get it, instead of, I don't know, instead of going to let all those questions dissolve away into what you're calling the delta state. And then the answers will be there when we're in the place that we can actually understand them, because you can't understand them in beta.
No, you can't.
We ask them in beta, we expect to understand them in beta, it can't be done. So you've got to go into a different mode of consciousness or mode of perception. You've got to have a different state of mind, point of view, in order to feel, experience the answer rather than speak the answer.
Right. And we're talking about, you know, referring back to that and seeing how the different ones we talk about, like we talk about Don Juan a lot, or the native philosophy about these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he was talking about that an accurate statement of what Don Juan was and that state of mind. And it was voiced the day that Carlos Castaneda found him. It was that he's empty. That's empty. And that emptiness doesn't reflect the world, but reflects infinity. And that's crucial to this.
And empty is not void.
No, it's, what is it empty?
Yeah.
It's empty of
the small our reality.
All things material.
Yeah.
It's empty of that. There is no human thought processes going on there.
Right.
It's an emptying, a complete emptying of that mind, which again, it's kind of like the predator's mind. That mind is completely gone in that state of mind.
And then what you find is the fullness of what divine, the divine mind is, rather than the void of human existence is actually the void.
Yeah. And then you find out that we, as Don Juan says, we're only perceivers and we're an awareness and we're not objects. We don't have solidity. Again, physics confirms that.
Yeah.
It's an illusion. What we're looking at, what we think is real, isn't. You know, you have to invert it all. It all has to be inverted.
And I know we use the word illusion a lot, but sometimes when we use that word, then I think our human brain gets all discombobulated about it. Well, if it's illusion, then what do I do with it? Do I ignore it? Do I understand it? But when we talk about it from what he just said, we are perceivers, when we recognize that what's really going on is that we're misperceiving the truth. So it's not that we're creating two universes and we're making one go away. We're misperceiving what is actually present. Which is the illusion. So misperceiving is different than saying that's an illusion, it will disappear and then we'll magically go to heaven and where everything is real.
Right.
The spiritual is real and substantial now, and as we become more aware of that, then that becomes the substance of everything that we're looking at. So any objects that we're looking at really are spiritual substance that we're misperceiving as solid objects.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And then to go on and talk about more of the native stuff, you know, it's like Tom Brown Jr. was talking about Stalking Wolf. And, you know, as a young kid, I mean, he's only, I don't know, 8 or 9 or maybe even younger than that when he first met him. But he said already they were caught up in what society was trying to push them into, which was chasing goals, gauging everything by the clocks. Their actions were all by the clocks. They're always focused on the future.
Mm-hmm.
Not right now, the present, the, you know, calm down. He had to slow them down. Literally had to slow them down. And what they wanted to know more than anything was how to listen, because he told them you have to listen. And they want to know, well, how do you do that? And he said, you have to learn to listen in purity so you don't pollute the teachings, because again, he said, everything's a teacher. So again, there's the symbology coming in again. You must ask the question, what is this teaching me? What is the understanding? What is the principle behind this symbol, this thing I'm seeing right here, right now, or I'm experiencing right now? And then he said, he told them, same thing Don Juan said, same thing the Taoists say, same thing that is said all the way through this stuff when it comes to what is pure spirit, is you have to forget you have a past. Well, now, the humans don't want to do that.
Well, we said in our last talk that we live today as if it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't like to do that, but really, okay, don't. You don't have to. Nobody's breaking your arm to do it. I mean, the easiest thing in the world is just keep doing what you're doing, mm-hmm. which is that round and round and round.
Is this the easiest thing?
Yeah, because it's very comfortable.
Well, yeah, you know, you did say the easiest thing in the world. And within the world view, probably it is easiest to just keep going around and around and around.
Yeah. Because try to start doing having that calm state of mind and practicing that every day for a few hours a day. At first, it is very, very difficult. And yet you have to keep up, even when you kind of fall off the wagon of it, so to speak. You still have to kind of pick yourself back up and just keep practicing. So if it starts out 5 minutes a day, fine. You know, practice, but really practice it. Really be there for that 5 minutes. But then increase it. You know, make that more of a focus and keep doing that kind of thing. Because he said you have to get to where you'll be empty and ready to listen purely. And then, so that's that idea of you have to empty that idea of that physical mind has to be empty. The Taoists say that you have to empty the wandering mind and fill it with the shining mind. And then he said after you've finished the teachings, then you can judge what you've learned, but only until after you've completely finished everything. And so that could take a lifetime. Who knows? But then he also wanted them to do something that was even more deeper than that. And that was where he had an absence of all thought. And that has to be the absence of all human thought, period. Because any human thought is coming from that premise of separation and of consciousness of time, place, gravity, body. That means you just transcended the whole physical idea of anything, and now you're in pure spirit. So that's where it was an absolute nothingness, equilibrium, and a limitless void. And yet not, can't be. When you experience that, there is such a feeling that comes over you, it is incomprehensible. You cannot talk about it. You can't convey it to somebody else what you just experienced. It is just simply, as Don Juan put it, inconceivable, unbelievable.
That's why that word void really has to be explained. It's not the void that people think of. It's a filled place. It's filled with what can't be explained.
Well, it's certainly void of anything physical.
Yeah, it's the physical void, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the veil, which that's what Al Stalking Wolf talked about, was, you know, going through the veils. And that was an absence of self, totally an absolute purity of existence and non-existence. And that's where Stalking Wolf had told him it was in that void where all things of the spirit would be found. And it was there you'd have total understanding, which that is what that is. That is the place of total understanding.
And that what we're doing here really is kind of, as we're pulling all this information together, is you started it out with in the month of March, it's weighing the truth. And so when we're weighing the truth, it's that line of discernment. It's the discerning, looking, being able to look at something and discerning whether it's coming from a human, I'm a human place, or coming from the point of view that all there is infinite intelligence. So we get to look at all dogmas and techniques and tools and ideas and weigh them in that scale of, is it on the heavy end of the scale, which is the human perception, mm-hmm. or is it in the light area of the scale, which is the awareness light, that we are light itself.
Yeah.
So that's the weighing of the truth. So when you hear something or think something or get attached to something, it's weighing whether what's the attachment, where is it coming from? Is this the truth of it? Is this the basis of it? Is this the substance of it? Is this the premise of truth? What is it?
Yeah.
That's what you mean by weighing the truth.
Yeah, that's what I mean by that, yes.
And then, so the number three is the number of change.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, an overview of that the number three change is that sense of change from the weighing the truth and change seem to go together for me. So as you're weighing the truth and coming from the pure, meaning empty of false thinking or false perceptions, then it does shift what looks like our outside life to more closely match the truth of perfection and love.
Yeah.
And that's the change that we're talking about.
That's the change. It is. You know, when I was a kid, there was a cartoon I happened to see on TV one morning. It was some Saturday morning. Pretty young kid, but I still remember that cartoon like I saw it yesterday. And it's about feeding something.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've talked about that.
Feeding the wolf.
You know, the monster, yeah, or the good wolf or the bad wolf or, uh-huh, whatever. And the kid asked the grandfather, well, which one wins? He said, it's the one you feed.
Yeah.
And so that is, when we keep feeding the beta state of mind, you're going to keep getting beta state of mind results.
Is that in the cartoon, the kid's feeding him?
In the cartoon, it wasn't a kid. The character was a young, a little chicken who was
kind
of a runt chicken.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And he was always picked on in the barnyard, you know, by the other chickens and roosters, always getting picked on and pushed around and made fun of. And one day he's out and about, and this bird had fell out, a baby bird had fell out of the nest,
mm-hmm,
from a tree. So he picks it up and he takes it and hides it in a shed where it's out of view. And he feeds it. You know, the cartoon goes along and he keeps going inside. You never see what this is that he's got, but he keeps feeding it. And then as time goes on, he's using a wheelbarrow and he's, you know, a lot of food going in there, sometimes several times a day, he's putting a wheelbarrow load of food in there. And so this goes along for quite a while. And then one day he's out in the barnyard and he's getting picked on extremely by a lot of, you know, everybody's just really giving him a hard time and ready to really kind of do him in pretty much. And just when he's right at that brink where he could get done in, the shed just burst open. This one, the side of the shed just busts open and this huge eagle came out.
Oh.
And just freaked all the little other chickens and they just run for the hills.
So which truth? Are you feeding
truth?
So
feed the eagle.
That's a wonderful one. Which is kind of, one of the things I wanted to talk about briefly was that we started this whole series, the 12, talking about those who are born. We're not really born, but who appear in the month that we're talking about. So someone that appears in the month of March comes with that regulator, refiner.
Yes. And it's degrees of regulating and refining. You know, I mean, you can see it as you stay in more of a beta consciousness, it'll be smaller and smaller amounts of what you're regulating and refining, but it's still like this natural thing. It's just this thing you do. You express it that way. And others may look at it, oh, I don't see that happening, but if you really look, you can see somehow, some way, they're regulating and refining, as all of us are.
Right.
Somebody that comes in under the March kind of thing probably is expressing it more than others, but that's the thing. We all express, of course, in the pureness of everything, you express everything all the time.
All of it.
At once.
Exactly. And actually, March, it just gives us a symbol when we get to March to say, how am I regulating and refining? Am I regulating and refining in the small room?
Exactly.
Or am I regulating and refining within the awareness of truth?
Yeah.
And this also, March ends the season. So it ends, yes, the season of, which season are we in?
Season of learning.
So we're ending the season of learning and moving a new season in the next month.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons I have loved this series, is because it takes us through each, what looks like a month the symbol of a month allows us to go into that rhythm and say, how am I regulating, refining? How
exactly.
am I learning?
What
That's what
I?
It's worth for.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
not, oh, I was born in March and this is what I am. It's not that
and
at
it's,
all.
And it's not, oh, I was born in May, so I don't, March doesn't matter.
I don't need to listen to the rest of it.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
I mean, here we are. This is it. What are you regulating and refining? What truth are you weighing? Are you accepting? What are you accepting as true? There's different things you have to keep asking yourself, and then you experience that and you come out of it with a deeper understanding of truth and spirit.
Which, if you use the brainwave analogy or symbol, because that's what it is,
yeah.
the more we live within the theta delta.
Yeah.
Again, just symbols, because if you can measure it, it's in the room.
Exactly.
But it gives us that feeling of what that means.
Yep.
All right, so any last things you want to say about the month of March?
Oh, that's it.
All right. Well, that was wonderful.
That's very good.
A lot of regulating, refining, and weighing the truth.
Weigh the truth.
But where are you weighing the truth, and what truth are you weighing?
And what truth are you accepting?
And what
or what are you accepting as true?
What are you accepting as true? And are you bringing a state of mind and point of view into harmony with it?
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's a lot to be thinking about. Thanks, Delbert.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Do you like the part about watching a fake video and believing it over the actual event? This gives us a wonderful peek into the power of perception, which leads us to your shift hack for today. Ask yourself, what am I accepting as true? Pause, observe, listen, and detach. In the show notes for this podcast, I added links that you might like, including one to a series of meditations that Del and I did with binaural beats, which are wonderful assists to moving out of the beta state of mind. You can find this podcast and our other podcasts at theshift.com/podcast. We would love to hear what you think and really, really appreciate shares and ratings. Till next time, join me as we shift the story together.